Copy of the Word of God tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. I want to begin reading tonight at verse number 1 and read down through verse number 14. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 1. I want to preach tonight on this thought. You don't have to die in the desert. You don't have to die in the desert. You say, Brother Dave, that's an unusual thought tonight. How are you going to find that in this text? May I remind you, when you open your Bible to Exodus chapter number 3, that Moses is in the second season of his life. The first 40 years Moses had spent in the palace. He lived down in the palace in Egypt, there with Pharaoh. The second 40 years Moses spends on the backside of the desert, tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses is at the end of his second season in Exodus chapter number 3. Moses, no doubt, has resigned to spend the rest of his life in the desert, tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. But I'm glad tonight that I can say about Brother Moses, Moses, you don't have to die in the desert. And I want to say to you tonight, if you're here and your life has become a desert, it's dry around your place, God's Word's going to teach us tonight that we don't have to die in the desert. God is able to bring us from where we are to where we need to be. You know, in verses 1 through 4 tonight, that this chapter begins with God divinely interrupting the life of Moses. The Bible said, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. This day started out in the life of Moses just like every other day for the last 40 years. His plans was to lead the flock out to pasture, feed the flock, care for the flock, tend the flock. When evening time come, lead the flock back into the fold, put another day on the shelf, and begin the next day the same way. It started out in Moses' life just another ordinary day. But the Bible said in verse number 2 that God had a different plan. God was going to take this ordinary day in the life of Moses and make it an extraordinary day. For the Word of God said, and the angel of the Lord. I'll not spend a lot of time here tonight explaining that, but I'll just make this statement. I believe, no doubt, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was what theologians call a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord Jesus spoke to Moses out of a bush that was burning but was not consumed. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. In the scripture, any time that God uses a name twice, it gives the thought of a sense of urgency. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here am I. And from that divine interruption in verses 1 through 4 comes some definite instructions in verse number 5. And he said, the Lord Jesus said, and he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God begins with a divine interruption. Then God gives Moses some definite instructions. Then verses 6 through 14, God declares His intentions. Over, He said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, now send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people out, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, Certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Because when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. I want to preach on this thought again. You don't have to die in the desert. I want to look particularly tonight at verse number 5. We talked about in verses 1 through 4 how that God divinely interrupted the life of Moses. But in verse number 5, after God gets the attention of Moses, He gives him some definite instructions. Three of them. He says to him, number 1, Draw not nigh hither. Secondly, Put off your shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You say, Brother Dave, what made this place holy ground? The presence of a holy God made this place holy ground. And God says to Moses, I want you to take off your shoes. Now, when we read that text tonight, there are some things that are apparent to us from this text. There's some reasons that are apparent. God said to Moses, take off your shoes, because that would be a sign of reverence and a sign of respect. God said to Moses to take off his shoes because it would be a symbol of Moses' recognition, because Moses' shoes were probably nothing more than a sole with a strap across them, and no doubt his feet had got dirty as he had walked through the hillsides tending the sheep, and it was just a sign of the fact that Moses was a sinful, dirty man in the presence of a holy God. It's also not only into a picture tonight of reverence and recognition, but it's also could be a picture of resignation. Because in the Bible times, often slaves and servants in those days went without shoes. They went barefoot. Those are some apparent reasons tonight that God said to Moses, take your shoes off. But I believe tonight there's something more there. There's something a little bit deeper tonight than just those apparent reasons. God said to Moses to take his shoes off because God was wanting to do a deeper work in the life of Moses than just teaching him reverence and recognition and respect. You say, Brother Dave, what was God wanting to do in the life of Moses? God was wanting to get Moses ready to be a great deliverer. You see, God was going to use Moses as an instrument to lead the children out of 430 years of Egyptian bondage. So God is preparing the heart of a deliverer. He is getting Moses to a place that he can use him successfully, and use him for his glory and his honor. So when God says to him, Moses, take your shoes off, what was he really saying? Number one, he was dealing with the humanity of Moses. Would you agree with me tonight that the shoes of Moses were either the works of his hands or the works of the hands of another? Some man had made those shoes. You see, in Moses' day, you couldn't run to Walmart. You couldn't go to Kmart. You couldn't go down to Shoe Show or Pick and Pay. In Moses' days, shoes were made by hand. And it is very possible that Moses made the very shoes that he had upon his feet. And when God said to Moses, Moses, take your shoes off, here's what he's saying to him, Brother Doug. God's saying, Moses, if I'm going to use you, if you're going to be the deliverer of my people, you're going to have to step out of what human hands can do, and you're going to have to step over onto what I can do. I don't think you got that. Before Moses could ever be the emancipator of the children of Israel, Moses had to learn it's not about him, but it's going to be about God. He had to learn that when God said, I've heard their cry, when God said, I've seen their affliction, when God said, I've come down to deliver, and Moses had to get it in his thinking, it's not about what I can do, but it's about what God can do through me when I yield myself to Him. And when God said to Moses, Moses, take your shoes off, he said, son, if you leave my people out, you have to step out of what you can do with your humanity over onto what I can do through you when you yield yourself to me. We talk about the anemic church and how that the church of our day has seemingly lost the power and the touch of God. I tell you what we need to do. We need to take our shoes off. And we need to step out of what we can do with our human hands and our ability and step back over onto what God can do when we yield ourselves completely unto Him.
Amen.
So when God said to him, Moses, take your shoes off, He is dealing with Moses' humanity. Secondly, when God said to Moses, take your shoes off, He's dealing with Moses' history. You see, Moses had some history. And it's amazing at the things that can get ground in the soles of your shoes. Did you know you can tell where a person's been and what they've been into by the soles of their shoes? I had a brother-in-law who was a hog farmer for a while. And I want to promise you tonight, when he'd been down at the hog house, he didn't have to come back in and tell them where he had been. They could tell by his shoes. And you know, I'm preaching to some folks in this place tonight that you've got a lot of stuff ground in the soles of your shoes. Where you've been, what you've done, has left their marks upon the soles of your shoes. And God cannot use you in the present because you're still bound to the past. Amen. You still are bound to those things that are ground in the soles of your shoes. You say, Brother Dave, what was in Moses' shoes? Well, a couple of things. Moses, at the age of 40, had run ahead of God when he saw an Egyptian killing a Hebrew. Moses runs ahead of God and tries to emancipate the people through the energy of his flesh. He got ahead of God. He had that in the soles of his shoes. Moses had retreated to the desert and had spent the last 40 years of his life there in the desert after he had miserably failed. I'm saying to you tonight that Moses had some things in his past that if God was going to use him in the present to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel, Moses had to step out of those things. He had to get out of those shoes and get over onto God's holy ground. Amen. Listen to me. Talking to some tonight that needs to step out of the past, out of your fears, out of your failures, and out of your frustrations. You need to take your shoes off tonight and get on holy ground with God and let God so do a work in your heart that it becomes a new day for you in your walk and relationship with God. Let me tell you, friend, for Moses, this was a new day. He'd never be the same again after this encounter with God. Changed him forever. Somebody said, Brother Dave, what do you think Moses did? When God said, take his shoes off, I think he took his shoes off. Not as fast as he could. I think he took them off. Because he realized he needed to step out of those things that he could do onto those things God could do. And he needed to step out of the fears and the failures and frustrations of his past and get on holy ground with God where God could use him. After those definite instructions, verses 6 through 14, comes God's divine intentions. And God reminds Moses, Moses, this emancipating, this delivering, this bringing my folks out of Egypt is not going to be about you, but it's going to be about me. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to use you as my instrument. Can I say tonight, if God ever uses us, you, me, it's not going to be about us. But it's going to be about us placing ourselves as instruments in the hand of God. It's going to be about us stepping out of our shoes, out of what we can do over onto what God can do through us as we yield ourselves to Him. Get down to verse number 11. Moses kind of has a little perplexity. He says to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Somebody said, Brother Dave, do you think Moses is trying to get out of this? Or do you think Moses was really humbled? That Moses was really just humbled that God would use him again? I think Moses was humbled that God was going to use him again. And little insignificant Moses looks in the face of sovereign Almighty God and he says, who am I? Who am I that you would use me? Oh God. You see, this change of attitude come after Moses had that holy ground experience with God. I mean, when Moses got his shoes off, some things changed about him. And now he's looking at God and saying, oh God, I'm just so insignificant. Why would you want to use me? And then God reassures Moses in verse number 12. He says, Moses, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be alone. And this is a token unto you that I've sent you. You're going to one day come back to this very mountain and worship with the people of God. And I'm going to use you to emancipate from Egypt. Amen. Are you listening? So Moses says to the Lord, when I come to the children of Israel and say unto them that you've sent me, and they ask me, what's your name? What do you want me to tell them? God said, tell them, I am that I am. Tell them, always was, always will be, and I am right now, present tense. And then you'll note in verse number 14, he says, say unto them, I am has sent me unto you. That's an interesting thought there. When God says to Moses, tell him I am has sent me. God said, really saying to Moses, I am whatever you're going to need. I am. You need bread? I'm the bread of life. You need light? I'm the light of the world. You need water? I'm the living water. You need strength? I'm the strength giver. You need supplies? I'm the supplier. You need provisions? I'm the provider. I don't know what you're going to need, Moses. Don't worry about it, son. Because I am going to be whatever you need. Whatever you need. Can I tell you tonight, and I'm through, what God was teaching Moses was what he taught Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Bible said that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He sought the Lord thrice that God would remove it. Then Paul made this statement. He said, His grace is sufficient. I will most gladly, glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, He is strong. Are you listening? You know what some of you dear saints need to do tonight? You need to take your shoes off. Because what you're facing tonight in your life is bigger than you are. You can't handle it in your humanity. So you need to step out of those shoes and step over on the holy ground with a God that is able to handle whatever you're facing tonight. Some of you tonight need to get your shoes off because you're bound by the past. There's things that are ground in the soles of your shoes that you've never dealt with. Your fears, your failures, and your frustrations. And God has sent a preacher from Alabama tonight to divinely interrupt you and say to you that God is asking you tonight to step out of your past, your fears, your failures, your frustrations, and get on holy ground with God, where God can use you for His glory and His honor. The reason tonight that God can't use some of us is we're too strong. We're too strong. We want to do it in our strength. Do you remember what Paul said? He said, I'll gladly glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest. That word rest means spread a tent over. I was ugly. Glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, acknowledging them so that Christ can spread a tent of His power over me so that I can be what He wants me to be and do what He wants me to do. Hear me, friend. You don't have to die in the desert. Amen. You can have a holy ground. We call it down home, a holy ground hold down with God if you'll get your shoes off. Amen. Let's bow our heads to pray. Fellows are coming to sing. Somebody in this building tonight needs to step out of your shoes and get on holy ground with God. It's bigger than you. You can't handle it in your strength. So you need to step out of what you can do over onto what God can do in your life. Why don't you come tonight, find a place around this altar, and you have a holy ground hold down with God. Will you do it? I ask you to come tonight. It's bigger than you. You can't handle it. You need God. You need God. Will you come? And some tonight are bound by the things that are in the soles of their shoes, their past. God's saying to you tonight, step out of your fears and your failures and your frustrations. Step out of those things that are hindering you, holding you back. Get on holy ground. Let me work afresh in your life. Will you come? Some's already coming. Others needs to come tonight. Will you come? Will you not die in the desert? Don't die in the desert. Come tonight. Father, will you take the Word of God, Holy Ghost of God, stir us afresh around the truth of this book. And we give you glory for what you do in life tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're standing there singing. Pastor, it's yours.
He's all I need. When I see someone touch you, He's always there to my friend.
Come on. Come on. Come on. It's time to step out of those things. Just come on. Let's be done with it. Let's just be done with it. Bring your husband, bring your wife, bring your children. Just come on. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Come on. Come on. Come on, the invitation is for everyone. Come on. Join these that are already here. Come on. Come on. I most assuredly wouldn't presume to add one thing or to say anything in addition to that, because I told you we would hear from the Lord. We heard. We heard. Here's what I'm asking. As a pastor who will serve with you, but I can't serve for you. If you're joining me, step out of some of those things that keep us separated from experiencing the touch of God's place. I'm done. I'll be here. If you'll just come and say, God, if this stuff is real, touch me tonight and let me leave here a different person than I came here. I just feel like one more verse. Calvary, your pastor, don't come because of me, but come with me. Come with me while they sing. Anybody? Anybody? Love you. Come on. Get rid of the stuff that stands between us and God. Come on. Don't be afraid to trust God. Don't be afraid of Him. Reverence Him, but don't be afraid. Come on. Let's do something for God together. You've never put your faith in Him. Come here. That can change right now. You can leave here being born into the family of God if you'll come. Come on. Come straight to me. You want to know the Savior, you come here. We'll show you Jesus. You need to know the Lord. Come on. Our church sometimes, Brother Dustin, I get in a warm spot and I don't want to move. I'm afraid I'm going to mess that thing up. I don't want to move. But I'm glad you're here. We've got Jackie's mom, Mrs. Elrod, is coming to join with Calvary. So we if you're glad that she's going to become a part of Calvary and you're going to make her feel welcome, I want you to let her know how pleased you are that she's come to be with us with a great big amen. 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 God bless you. We're glad to have you. Maybe you can help me with Jackie a little bit. Take a better preacher than I am but to help her. But I'm so glad you're here tonight. Old Pa's a blessing to you tonight. Guys, I'm telling you. Every year. I love these guys because you can trust them. You can trust them. And you don't have to sit there real anxious about what's going to happen. So, and I tell you, from I don't know about from your perspective, but from a pastor's perspective, that's pretty cool. You actually get a chance because during the revival, everybody says, well, you don't have to do anything this week. You couldn't be any more wrong. You know, you couldn't be. They said, well, you're not preaching. Man, preaching's the easiest thing I do. It's not the best thing, but it's the easiest thing. You know, it's the easiest thing I do. It's all the other stuff between Sundays that get in your way. But I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Were you blessed by the message from Brother David Smith? God bless you, Brother David. That's incredible. Incredible. Well, I'm glad you're here. For the preachers that are here, thank you so much for taking your time and coming. Tomorrow night, Old Pals will be singing again at 6:45. I know you'll be in your church, but come back Thursday night and be with us. We have Brother Joe Arthur who's going to be preaching for us tomorrow night. I want you to join with me in intense prayer because Joe is in California. And he's flying out tomorrow. So if we have any Joshuas here that can stop the sun and give him some time to get here, please do. But he has vowed and declared he will be here. So we're trusting that everything goes smoothly for him and he can come. So please pray for us. And then Thursday night, we have Brother Kenneth Kuykendall from over at Crossroads in Lawrenceville. I'm going to tell you, I hear nothing but good things about him. We've had people say, what night is he preaching? And we'll be there. And so I take him on some recommendations. Pardon me? It's what I hear.
He wrote The Eye of the Storm, by the way, and he chose the truth and life again. And amen, that's right. And about 20 books go along with it.
Yeah, he'll have his books. He has a devotional that I have two or three copies of, I guess, left, that he sends out that you ought to get those things. They will speak to your heart. It's a little short, two or three paragraph deal, one for every day, a little devotional. But he's incredible. People that I trust, like this, like Brother T.D. and others, have said he is amazing, and we're looking forward to that. We're not exalting him, but we're talking about what God does through him, that he has found the unique way of staying out of the way. And so that's as good as it gets, I think, for a preacher. So I hope you'll come back and be with us tomorrow night. If you go be in your church, we'll be praying for you. You please pray for us. And we have several folks in our church that are fighting.